This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", 300 and something pounds from the south shore of Nassau County, Long Island. It's John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me.
Jackson Maine.
I'm echoing in my own head during this.
Jackson Maine joining me in the High Mighty studio. Okay, the echo is gone. Ooh, yeah, brother. Abortion is healthcare. That's right, Jackson Maine. Sorry. When you touched me, we caused a time loop, and I was hearing repeats of myself. Not an issue anymore. Also joining me in the High Mighty studios, nearly sent co-host Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout-out. Arthur, currently not available to pop in here. He is sleeping on the couch. I don't know why I still include him as part of the intro. It's a pattern that's hard to break. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, he's a guest. He's from the HeadGum fam. We're talking from the Root Tales of Magic. It's Christopher Hastings.
Oh, yes, brother.
Welcome, brother. Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, we're doing kind of a wrestling thing, but that's not my natural voice. I'm doing a midway character.
All right, time to hop in here half-assed and just support him a bit with, oh boy, I'm in too deep, brother.
3 minutes of uh-ohs with Bonesaw.
Oh, no. Bonesaw's ready. Man, Marvel movies used to be so rad. Spider-Man 1 had fucking Macho Man in it. That shit hit hard for me when I first saw that.
Performing that movie, didn't he, like, do some move that, like, ended his career? Like, he actually injured himself on set?
Oh, no. I don't know. Probably.
I mean, not that we were all, like, really, like, ooh, what's the next Macho Man storyline going to be in the 2000s when that movie came out?
Yeah, he probably was. It was probably crazy. Yeah, he suffered a neck injury while filming because he did his own stunts.
Well, you know, if anybody's a should be a trained stunt performer, you'd think it's a guy with decades of experience in the WWE.
All right, don't worry. Randy's gonna do his own stunts here. Oh dear God! Oh dear God!
Like, so nice to meet you, Tobey Maguire.
Toby, I love Cider House Rules. Christopher, when I reached out about what you wanted to talk about, I mean, you're an accomplished many things, but one thing you threw out there that no one has really thrown out as a topic is barbecue. And upon reading those three magical letters, I was, it's funny. It's like an acronym that no one ever says BBQ. I mean, sometimes I accidentally say it if it's like the title of a place, like, oh, do you want to go to Smokehouse BBQ? But I rarely ever say BBQ.
Yeah, it's, you know, who says squiggle line when you know you mean ampersand?
Right. Well, you know, who says ampersand when you mean and, right? You don't say Dungeons, ampersand, dragons.
Right.
Yeah, BBQ, it's weird. It's one of those words where it's not a direct representation, but if you see it, BBQ, you say barbecue.
Auto translates in your head. Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
Never thought about it before. I have nothing else to say.
And I'm tapped. Well, that's been our episode about barbecue.
Right. It is weird that you do that. Thank you so much.
Plus, that's us getting into the etymology of BBQ. So tell us where we can listen to Rude Tales. But you don't mean, you mean specifically the cuisine of food, right? Because coming from New York, eating at a barbecue doesn't necessarily mean you are eating barbecue.
Right. Isn't that terrible? We need more words.
The one thing I can tell you is that this society needs more words. I've been overanalyzing this for the last week for some stupid reason. Because I don't have a ton of, like, barbecue, meaning, like, that style of cuisine, open fire, barbecue sauce, brisket, pulled pork, that kind of I have a ton of experience in eating it, but I have a ton of experience in grilling and hosting barbecues, but not the cuisine. So I was stoked to talk about it, A, more than just this etymology, but how does one get into BBQ? Does it start like everyone else with your first bite of brisket going, I need to make this at home now?
Yeah, it was very similar to that. So, you know, for like you're like you growing up, for me, barbecue meant like whatever got thrown on the grill,
hamburgers and hot dogs, like,
yeah,
most frequently, or like, for us.
Yeah. And or like specifically like grilling a terrible piece of chicken and dousing it with like bullseye barbecue sauce.
Yes.
And it's like that's just what I thought it was just like that very specific flavor profile. Never really had good smoked meat until my dad came home. Like when, so my dad growing up was a pilot, and he flew everywhere and would sample just different food from the entire world. And just like one time he came home and he was like, I just got back from Texas. I have something I want to try out and share with you. And, you know, he made smoked beef ribs, and that was just like, you know, he bought a smoker for this. He was like, I'm going to get into barbecue now. And then just they were incredible. I was like, oh, I had no idea barbecue tasted like this. It was like the meat just it literally melts in your mouth because in the process of cooking it slowly like that, it renders all of this connective tissue that makes it melt. And it's like the smoke is so good. And just like that particular recipe, it's just salt and pepper. And I know, like, you know, you're from New York. I don't know if you've ever been to Blue Smoke before.
Yes.
That's the recipe. So, like, he picked it up from a guy that picked it up from there.
Oh, fun. So, like, I loved it. The first time I had Blue Smoke wings, I went apeshit. Like, I'm a big wing fan. And the first time I had their smoked wings, I mean, so much of their stuff is so fucking good there. But their smoked wings, like, blew me away at first.
That's, like, my favorite thing to make if I feel like barbecuing, but there's nobody else around to eat it. I'll smoke myself, like, a pack of wings.
Hell yeah.
They're the best.
I need a smoker just to have my wings smoked from now on. I'm baking them in my little fucking, when I rent a Airbnb in Palm Springs with some friends or something, I'll get to grill my wings and be very excited about delivering some, you know, low and slow wings. But a smoker, ooh, that's the dream. Slab is a barbecue restaurant by where I live here in LA, and their smoked wings are up there, and they are absolutely fantastic as well.
I think they're better than fried. I think it does. It comes down to, again, it breaks down connective tissue. It like, and like wings are full of it because of, you know, those tiny little bones.
Right.
Yeah, it just makes it all melt.
It really does like present meat with a texture that you haven't had it before. And you can easily, maybe some listeners who aren't from specific regions or haven't, they might be like in their head going like, when I get a barbecue sandwich at a restaurant, it's like so saucy and soupy. And like,
yeah,
like I remember a period of time in like the early aughts where like you could get pulled pork sandwich at like pretty much every restaurant in America. Like they were all doing some version of that. Right. And it was always like, oh, that looks good. I'm going to get that. And then when you get it, you're like, this doesn't hit for some reason. Then you go to some place that like some like lady with a glass eye puts like a wad of pulled pork on like one slice of Wonder Bread. And it's the best goddamn barbecue sandwich you've ever had. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe the Virgil's on 8th Avenue isn't presenting the best barbecue per se.
Yeah. Sorry, Virgil's. Yeah, and you know, and the thing is, the pulled pork is one of the easier, like, you know, things to make. Like, if you've never like smoked meat before, even if you don't have a smoker, if you just have a kettle grill, you can do like a better pulled pork sandwich than any of these aforementioned soup sandwich places.
Yeah,
it's just so easy. You get like a pork shoulder. And then you can buy a rub. You don't have to make your own. But also, you know what? Google is very easy to look up like a pulled pork rub. And it's just like brown sugar and like paprika and onion powder and garlic powder, whatever spices you want. And like salt the thing for a day ahead of time. And then in your kettle grill, you just load up your charcoal on one side of the grill and you put your pulled pork on the other side. And then you just let it go all day. And it's very forgiving. You can squid up, it can get too hot, it can cook too cold, so long as the pork gets to like 200 something degrees on the inside when you're done, it's going to taste amazing.
Yeah, the The pork butt is sort of like indestructible in a way, and it makes sense for it to be like the iconic is maybe not the right word, but like the indicative dish of barbecue, because we used to make me and my wife used to live with a third guy, two bedroom apartment. You know, New York City is a little nuts.
New York City, baby.
Yeah, exactly. So our buddy, he was really into horse racing and barbecue. We did not have any outdoor space. Mm. He started making, for the Derby every year, he started making a smoking a pork butt in our oven in the house. And he was able to do it. And then, you know, a little liquid smoke, you'd purchase a little liquid smoke, some rub, you get it going. And then you eventually pull it, get it in a bowl with some sauce and like slow cook, you know, let that simmer all day or whatever. And it was, and I didn't even know, like, how limited his experience was at this point, but now with hindsight, how limited his toolkit was just doing this in like a pre-war apartment, like tiny little oven. He was smoking a full pork butt, a pork shoulder for us. Maybe it was a butt. I feel like he kept calling
it's
it the
kind
butt.
Of the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Because they're four legs. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, even the butt, it's not actually from the butt. I don't know why it's called a butt. It's still the shoulder. It's
right.
Still the-
Well, technically, on there, when it's your leg, it's like your shoulder and your butt at the same time. Like, and if you have four, if you have four legs, man,
feet.
Oh man, he's got four hooves, 0 feet. What the fuck? But he would make that in our house, and it would be so fucking good, so good. And then eventually, I went to a friend's house who had the green egg for the first time, and
they
had smoked some shit in there, and I was like, oh, the smoke is, and then, you know, right after that is like when Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and like all these barbecue based food shows just popped off, where you got to like really learn and like see some of these freaks who are like, it's 18 hours slow. I stand over it and sweat all day long and just like mop sauce on at different intervals and shit like that. Just there's something. For me, I'm not a very good cook. I'm not very good under pressure, but something I've learned I have is foresight. And with foresight, without skills, and I don't even have, I'm not even talking smoking, but I've now cooked like stuff in the slow cooker, low and slow bake wings, you know, you get the marinade going like 2 days in advance and then slow cook it. All you need is, you don't need skills. All you need to be like, Friday, I want to serve wings. Okay, it's Wednesday. Let me buy them and Ziploc bag them with some good sauce now. And like, it's that times 10 for like, all right, we're having people over at 5 a.m. for the pork butt. I just got to get it in at 5 a.m. and keep an eye on it all day long or whatever. And that always appealed to me. And then meeting these guys, like I hosted a travel show where I got to go around, go to some restaurants, went to a barbecue restaurant in Richmond, actually. And these guys were like, he's like, yeah, you know, this goes on 18, like the process in which they have to go on to get them off in time for service is like so fucking fun. It's like, we have a guy that's here at 4 a.m. He works till 9 a.m. or whatever. He gets everything started and then goes home. I'm like, that level of energy going into smoking something is just so appealing to me. I just love that idea. Yeah.
I do like maybe 2 briskets a year, but. Because it is that process when you do an entire, like, it's called a full packer. I don't know why. brisket. The more I learn about barbecue, the more I realize I know nothing. Like,
dude,
it's just,
you're touching on literally the, like, anytime you're a grown up and start, you're like, I know a fair bit about something. Now I want to really dive in and learn more. And the second you do that, you really just shine a light on what you don't know in a fun, like, oh shit. And then like it kind of retroactively is like, oh, I didn't know what I was talking about at all before this.
Oh yeah, man. Especially when I first started getting into it, I would just repeat anything I read as gospel, all sorts of like stupid, like now things that are like disproven. It's just, you gotta soak your wood. All right. First thing you gotta do is you gotta soak your wood for an hour before you cook. And then no, that was just, it's not, it's like, you know why? Like, If soaking wood did anything, boats would sink.
Right. Makes total sense. If wood getting wet changed it structurally somehow, it would be bad news for docks.
Yeah. And you know what? And I'm saying that right now. In 5 years, they're going to be like, well, it's a different kind of wood, actually. And it turns out that at the microscopic right. level, like... Who knows?
Soaking... No, you're not supposed to be soaking it in water. And you're like, oh, I missed the whole thing here. Fuck, yeah.
But yeah, so like I like to do a brisket like on like New Year's Day as just like, I don't know, I just do. But it's like, yeah, got to get up at 3 a.m. to start that thing. And that's after 2 days prior having salted it. And yeah, it's nice. I make coffee the night before and I put it in a thermos so it's ready to go for me at 3 when I go out there in the middle of the night and start this brisket so that it's then ready for people to come over and eat it at 6 p.m.
Oh man, that is like, and then when you serve that to someone, you're just like, I've been guiding this thing on a 15-hour journey.
Yeah.
And like to present it to people at that moment, like after all the effort I've put into, like, you're just like, every time you cook for someone, it is a real, like, I'm putting myself on display. I hope you in, but like cooking barbecue for someone that's like, I've been working on this for more than half of a day. Like, yes, it's a little passive at points. Like, I'm able to go on my phone or, you know, wander, take a walk around the neighborhood. But I shepherded this thing from my fridge to your plate in 3/4 of a day. Enjoy.
I've been tending the flame because it's like, yeah, I don't have one of those electric smokers, you know, like that you can just load pellets in and plug it in. And it's basically an oven, but yeah, it is. And then it's like, it is very satisfying to be like, here's your perfect 2 slices of brisket with a little slice of onion and the barbecue sauce that I made.
Oh, hell yeah.
Or a potato roll, and like it looks very simple, but like, yeah, it's great.
That's also the power of barbecue too, right? Is like something about the cuisine itself is that at final presentation it's kind of simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're like, oh, like it's one of those dishes you rarely get like this where the name of it is exactly what it is. Like, you know, it's like ribs. And it's like, what does that look like? It's like, there are ribs on your table now. Like, oh, I get it. Like, there's something primal. I mean, obviously, it is just meat plus fire plus seasoning, which is, you know, very caveman-esque. But there's something very primal about, like, it's cow meat. And it's just what we did with it for the 18 hours before you got it that matter. Or in your 72 hours if you're brining or salting or marinating or doing anything like that. Yeah.
You're lucky you got spices on this.
Right? Yeah. Normally it's just the kiss of flame. It's just about the wood I put in. And like all the variables, like, and then when you hear, like, when you're watching like Chef's Table Barbecue and they're like, are you doing applewood here? It's like, oh, it's a classic apple, hickory, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like you have like specific types of wood that go into this too. Jesus Christ. Like our wood blend, our spice blend, our temperature blend, our hour. It's 4 hours at this, 5 hours at this, 4 hours back at this. And then everyone has, it's very simple, but you can go to 200 barbecue restaurants on the same block and they'll each have a slight tweak that they do. That they're like, well, the reason ours is good because of blank. And they're like, well, we do blank. And it's like, oh, you're like, we put the pork shoulder on upside down. You're like, okay.
Oh, God, that is a thing. Yeah. In New York for a while, like whenever barbecue was getting hot in New York City, you know, in the aughts, it was like there were places to be like, yeah, we brought our smoker all the way from Texas. Like, it was like, so what? Like, that's like your machinery? And who cares? There's like kind of a funny, like, it's probably a myth, but it's like a fun little thing to repeat that's like brisket from, I think, like the left side of the beef is better than the right side. Like you try to figure out which chest muscle it is because apparently cows like to lie down on one side and get up from that one side. So like their right muscle is always getting a lot of exercise and the left one is a little fattier, but like, it's one of these things that like these pro, like the guys that do like the competition cooking where they do like an insane presentation for like that one perfect slice of brisket. Like that's something they like to talk about. But I'm like, I think you're just like, you're getting to the point now where you've got all the things going into it. And now you're just making up reasons.
Bro, yeah. Well, that always feels like a slight tweak on the end that just like with like fitness and stuff, it's always like those elite level people who throw out some sort of like, yeah, you want to use the left side of the brisket rather than the right side because it's a little fattier. And it's like, that's when you're like down to like the 99.9% variable or whatever. And I feel like in fitness, you see that a lot too, where someone's like, oh, I never do calf raises because blah, blah, blah. And it's like the guy who mentioned that to you is a guy who's like an elite level bodybuilder. It doesn't apply. Like, I'm yeah. sure, like, I don't think you're getting the right side of the brisket. It's going to break my brisket that I'm serving for everyone. But when you're at those guys are at those peak levels where they're like, they can like touch it with their finger and be like, this is the right side and shit too. Like they can, like, you're like, okay, pal, that makes no sense. And then they can eyeball it. You're like, all right, fair enough. You get your choice aside with your brisket. I don't mean choice aside like mac or greens. I mean choice of which side of brisket you want.
Right. Yeah, gosh, so true about the bodybuilding stuff. And I'm just like, I'm lifting heavy things and it's doing great. And
right, exactly. The fact that I'm here in this gym for 90 minutes is just the win. Like, I don't need to like start titrating down this and that and this. It's like, I'm not at that level yet. Maybe someday I will be, but right now it's just the fact that my smoker is on and I'm making my own barbecue sauce is a huge fucking win. Talk to me more about this. Whip, you have your own BBQ sauce recipe?
Oh yeah. It's like based, I've been tweaking it for years, so I guess it's gotten to the point now where it's mine. But it's like, basically, it's kind of a vinegarier sauce, so it's good with pork. And it's like,
it's not a ketchup based barbecue sauce. Like,
got some ketchup.
Hell yeah! I'm not gonna make you spill your recipe on.
I'll tell you the fun part of it, the secret or whatever, which was there all along, which is coffee. Putting coffee into barbecue sauce is really good.
Oh yeah, I do like that. I do like that profile. Porters and coffee, like in that dark sweetness kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan. Oh, that's making your own barbecue sauce. When I found out barbecue sauce was ketchup, like ketchup is like the beginning, and then they go from there. I was like, of course it makes sense. I remember in like the 90s being like 14, 15 years old and like seeing barbecue sauce, like, you know, you get like the Wishbone or I think you said Bullseye or Sweet Baby Ray's.
Yeah,
classic, just like the Ken's Steakhouse of barbecue sauce or whatever, and you get it. And we would have that in the house. And then I remember there was a certain age where I was like, my dad, hey, Jody, you want to make a cheeseburger? I'd be like, oh, yeah, but instead of ketchup, can I have barbecue sauce? And I'd be like, oh. And I put that on and be like, oh, I'm really. Yeah, exactly. And I would put it on and be like, I'm a very interesting young person here. And it's like, you
know, I think I saw an ad for a special at Burger King that do it anymore.
Onion rings and barbecue sauce, like that was like my understanding of what the rodeo cheeseburger or whatever they were calling it back then. But like doing that, and I'm like, wow, I'm really, and then like eventually being like, oh yeah, these are wildly similar. They're just like two it's just like two dials away on, like, you know, like add this, add that, and it's like it's practically ketchup. And I'm like, oh, that makes a lot.
Those ones in particular, like, it's just, it was sweeter, just ketchup,
even sweeter,
like brown sugar. Yeah, it's sweet, even sweeter, and then like it's like paprika. That's probably it.
Right. Today we're here with a sponsor for your bouncing bundle of joy. And no, we're not talking about a baby, not on High and Mighty. We're talking about your baby makers. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. But just like babies, your delicate little guys have sensitive skin and deserve products that are not only skin safe, but made with safe ingredients. That's where Manscaped's Platinum Package comes in. From razors to shower care, this package goes above the gold standard for your body hair. So treat your beautiful boys to the world's finest toys at manscaped.com and use our code MIGHTY for 20% off plus free shipping. Okay, I'll tell you what, I love my Manscaped trimmer, the lawn mower. It works super well. It's very hard to nip yourself. Like, it's near, I have not done it yet. With my old buzzers, I would nip my little, you know, the base or the scrot every once in a while. But with the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 body trimmer, damn, playa, it's mad easy. And it works super well for me. You know, hit the Dyson in the tub after, get rid of all those short and curlies, and the wifey doesn't complain. And then, as you know, like I like to say, small potatoes make the steak look bigger. So a little trim down there, clean you up nice. And if you expect anyone to use it, touch it, play with it, engage with it orally, then enjoy, you know, get in there. Enjoy. it works wonders. I'm a big fan of how it works. It makes it, it's waterproof. I have had a wonderful time trimming the old pubes and balls with it. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code MIGHTY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code MIGHTY. Use the platinum package because the gold standard is no longer good enough. manscaped.com and use code MIGHTY. Do you have a favorite barbecue dish to make or a favorite barbecue dish to order, and are they separate?
Ooh, that's a great question. Cause yeah, like I do really love to like order, like buy good brisket because it does take an entire like sleep cycle to make.
Right. And when you show up to a restaurant, that sleep cycle has already happened on by someone else. So you yeah. can just, like, you can just order it. Thank you, Rick. I'm glad you spent the night out there. I'm ready to eat now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and then to make, I mean, I have so many that I like to make. Yeah, at home it kind of rotates. It's kind of depending on the season, honestly. So like, I don't mind doing like a really long barbecue in the wintertime, like the brisket or a pulled pork, because, you know, it's like sitting around a campfire, you know.
Right, right.
Cold. And then, like, you know, when it gets in the springtime and the summer, I really like grilling pizza, which isn't quite what this is, but it, you know, it's on the same device.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, grilled pizza is awesome.
Do you have like a little pizza stone you throw on there, or are you going right on the...
No, right on the grill.
Wow.
Yeah, like I have converted the grill into like a, you know, a pizza oven by taking the pizza steel that I have and putting it in there, because it gets yeah. super hot and you get like the nice reflective heat from the dome. So it cooks the pizza. But listen, I live in New York. I don't need to do that. I can
right, right, yeah.
I can buy very good pizza here.
You can walk 8 feet and get a much better slice than you're gonna.
Yeah, yeah. But grilled pizza is different. Because yeah, you just throw the dough right on the grill, and then you let it cook, and then you flip it, and then you flip it onto like a cooler side of the grill, and then you dress it really quick, and then you slide it back to cook the other side of the dough. And then sometimes, like, if you have a torch, it's nice to, like, brown your cheese because it doesn't really get brown. But, like, it's really fun, like, to have, like, a smoky grilled pizza.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine that's fucking. Yeah, I'm thinking, like, if you're got a little smoke going in there, you know, you do, like, a hot honey and soprasat pizza Hello. Or something like that. A little salami and a little honey with a kiss of that smoke go a Hell long yeah. way. Yeah, a little Calabrian chile. Ooh.
Oh, all right.
Excuse me.
And you say you're not a good cook.
Well, I am a fat Italian who likes grilling. So I know the words, and I have literally a tattoo that says food with a heart around it.
That's amazing. That's so good.
I'm a very good consumer, and I'm an informed consumer, just not – I don't produce as well. Yeah. Smoked pizza, that's fucking rad. That's yeah, a fun awesome. Idea. Yeah. Like, and that's good hosting, because you can just like, all right, let me go pop another one on, you know, you don't disappear for 45 minutes. Like, hold on.
Yeah,
let me mop the ribs or whatever.
Hang out. And yeah. You keep throwing them on there, and you're like, here's another one.
The next one we'll do turkey sausage, so you can have some. Don't worry. Like, you know, happening less so in New York than it is in LA, I'm betting.
I don't know. Maybe.
That's so brisket is like, is brisket your favorite? Like, because where do you like? I guess people are, some people are pulled pork and some people are brisket.
Yeah, I think like at the top, like at the top of their class, like a really great like Wagyu beef brisket, you know, I think is incredible. And most brisket is honestly disappointing. But like, I think pulled pork is like I said, it's harder to screw up. So like, usually I can get a good pulled pork.
Right. You can get like, you can get a medium pulled pork way more likely than like a medium. Well, you said most brisket is bad and you're right, but it is one of those categories of food where you're like, this isn't that good a brisket, but it is a nice piece of fatty meat with a piece of white bread, some sauce, and or it's a brisket sandwich and it's got the, you know, whatever it might be. You're like, eh, this is not the best brisket, but it's like not the best pizza, but not the best ice cream, but like you're just stoked to have it. But that's how I've always felt about chicken wings. And I've talked about this on the podcast numerous times, but I've always loved chicken wings. I do think because of the amount I need to eat to feel like I got enough chicken wings, it, ordering them always feels stupid and expensive. So I was finally like, all right, I don't know how to cook, but let me learn how to cook the thing I like best. And let me figure out how best to make it. And specifically for me, that involved like, how can I make it a little healthier so that consumption is a little more guilt-free? So I started like, over the course of the last 10 years, I've been making wings very frequently, or, you know, like maybe twice a month, to 2 to 4 times a month for 10 years. And every time I'm just like constantly tweaking, constantly changing the sauce. I don't have a grill. I don't have a smoker. Those are things that I think would knock it out of the park recipe wise. But I've been just baking and then finishing wings in the broiler for so long that I've gotten to the point where I can make them really in a way I really enjoy and that other people are really impressed by when I do make them. And it all stemmed from like, I really like this thing and I can't get it exactly the way I want it. So let me just start fucking. And it feels like that. You're like, man, sometimes you just want really good brisket and you're like, all right, crack the knuckles, go to the fucking fairway and be ready to rip here. And I'm just going to take it out. Going to go solo. I'm going to carry this one on my shoulder and make it fucking happen.
I'm curious about, your wings. I have a couple questions.
Let's go.
All right. So you said you change up your sauces. So do you generally like to do like a classic buffalo sauce, or like what are your go-tos?
I'm doing usually when I make them for me and my wife, there's two sauces, one buffalo or vinegary spicy adjacent. Another one I'll often use is a peri-peri sauce that I really
like.
So, and then the other one will be something in the sweet barbecue, sweet adjacent, like that world, or some sort of like olive, like not dry rub per se, but like sauceless, like olive oil, lemon, rosemary, garlic, or something like that. Like, so those are like the worlds I operate in. They're kind of simple, to be honest. Like, I'm always trying different barbecue sauces. Like, oh, let me try this company's Koji Korean barbecue. Okay, these don't work the way I wanted to. Oh, let me try this. I can't think of the brand off the top of my head, but there's like this Carolina mustard barbecue sauce that just really works well on fucking with wings and the way I'm baking. Because sometimes the sweet sauce. That. Yeah, I'll send it.
I have a pretty good Carolina mustard sauce that I like to do sometimes with pork, where it's like dressed up with like a lot of fresh herbs. Really good. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds dope. I'm doing all these just bottled sauces, hitting them in the Ziploc, putting them in there for like 48 hours in advance of just. But I've learned because of the style of cooking that I'm doing, just slow baking them at like under 300 in the oven for an hour and a half or so, or an hour, and then finishing them for just a little crisp in the broiler. Sometimes the sweet sauces, the sugar-based sauces, they cause this kind of like elasticity in the like filmy type thing to the chicken where it's just the skin doesn't snap the way you want it to. Like, and it just kind of, and I don't know, and I think that's from the slow cooking. So some sauces get eliminated with my process that are probably still good sauces. But I keep this honey mustard one that I'll send you, this Carolina mustard barbecue. It works so well in there. And then this Island Delights Hawaiian barbecue sauce that I love so much. For some reason, it just rips so well and exactly what I'm going for. So that one always gets thrown into rotation. But I love a Frank's buffalo wing sauce. The Peri Peri sauce is probably one of my favorites. In Nando's, it's actually Nando's from Peri Peri sauce. That shit just works so well.
Thank you. You've opened my world to all these new chicken wing flavors that I'm very excited to try.
And I literally was just making buffalo and barbecue for so long. Then you go to like Buffalo Wild Wings and they're like, what about Thai chili? And I'm like, should I just try marinara? And because I don't do like the finish in a bowl at the end, which is something I should probably learn how to do and like bake them with just chicken and bake them with just salt and pepper and then toss them in a sauce. That's like the next level of. I like the idea of marinating them and letting the sauce just get in there a little bit, but it doesn't always work with every sauce profile, right. I will say. So that's like my big learned lesson. And then I'm dying to move out of my fucking 900 square foot apartment and maybe get some fucking accoutrements that I can mess with on a higher level. Like smoking chicken is just so you need so little extra shit going on to just make some solid. You just buy good quality meat and just smoke it with like a little salt and pepper on it, maybe soak it in olive oil for a day just for crisp or something.
Yeah,
it'll come out fucking money. Are you doing all this stuff you mentioned? You called what did you refer to your grill as earlier?
Weber. Weber. Yeah,
it's like the lidded kind, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. It's a kettle grill. It's a big orb, basically, I guess.
Right. But it's not a gas one, right? You're putting in your own.
No, this is charcoal, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's, and therein like gets the whole other part of this all started too. It's like that is a layer more difficult than using a gas grill, but that's where the money comes from, right? For barbecue.
And
that's,
for me, the romance, you know, I have to romance the flame. It's a living creature.
Yes, dude. Yes, it's a fire elemental.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to make gentle love to it for it to produce what I want.
See, yeah, that's the thing that, like, I'm sure a lot of people who are thinking just pure convenience are like, oh, God, a Weber. And then you'll be at someone's house and they'll have a gas grill and a Weber grill. And you're like, what the fuck? And they're like, well, this is for when I want to do some barbecue. I need to get my wood chips in there. This is for ripping out burgers and dogs for the kids.
Yeah, right, exactly.
This one right here is when I'm like bringing in the pork butt and it's all been massaged and ready to rip. And I'm like, oh, that. So are you doing, when you're doing your brisket on this, on the Weber, are you messing with the charcoal in there? Are you throwing some wood chips?
You have to, yeah. Right? God, that's why you have to stay up all night with it. It's right. Because, you know, it's, so, you know, you have to keep it at like a ridiculously low temperature. So, you know, I'm trying to cook at 225 degrees and as you expose fire to oxygen, it wants to burn hotter than that. It really does. you know, fire famously hot.
Yeah, Frankenstein told me that. The Frankenstein's monster. The doctor didn't have time to explain it to me.
Oh, you mean Adam? Adam Frankenstein?
Yes.
That's what he calls himself by the end of the book, but who's read that far? It's kind of boring by then, honestly.
I shut it off at fire bad. That was all the info I needed.
You know, you have to like control the vents to like kind of just keep an oxygen flow correctly. And then as that's happening, like it might flare up a little bit, especially when you're like throwing wood chunks on there to like get the nice smoke on top of the charcoal. And I'm not even talking about like the guy, like there are guys who will take cured wood and they will purposefully just burn it down to charcoal and then they'll put it on their fire, which I do not mess with. That's too difficult.
They're making their own charcoal, more or less.
Yeah, they are. They do it live. Like
fuck it, we're like Bill O'Reilly. Fuck it, we're doing it live.
And I'm sure every single one of them would love that comparison.
Yeah.
The decent men who cook us this beautiful food being compared to one of TV's greatest monsters.
That's the shit that I love when you're like, oh yeah, like you could be into barbecue on 100 different levels. Like you could be making a pork butt in your apartment stove with liquid smoke and dinosaur barbecue sauce because you're from Syracuse and that's your favorite sauce. I'm using my roommate as a reference here. You can go all the way down to having a fucking, like, you can have a green egg, a Weber, or you can go to, like, building your own fucking smoker out of, like, a bank safe or, like, a gun locker or a file cabinet is one I saw that, online.
Those would all probably be very good because of the
information.
Yeah, those would work great.
And then you got guys who are making their own fucking barbecue sauce, making their own charcoal, raising their own pigs or cows. Like you can go in so you can just show up to fucking Dallas Barbecue and order a brisket and go like, I love barbecue. Or you could like raise a cow from birth and grow a tree from the seed. And like everywhere in between are considered barbecue aficionados. I mean, obviously there are to various degrees, but that's what's fun about real hobbies.
You know, the regional differences, like because barbecue is so American, because it is so weirdly different from state to state or city to city. Like,
Yeah. Well, it is when people always joke like, well, what is American cuisine? And they're like hamburgers and hot dogs. It's like, no, American cuisine is from the American South and it is barbecue. It is like, there are other countries that do meat over flame, obviously. But it's just the way we talk about it and process it and do it here. It's so obviously our export. Like it's so obviously. Like it's the American cuisine.
It's also one of those foods where it's like, if you go to like Manchester in the UK or something and you're like, oh, there's a barbecue restaurant here. You're like, well, that's I see why you think that's what we do. But there's a little, the translation's not quite right.
Exactly. You're missing a few key vibes and ingredients, like a few different things going on here. Because you mentioned earlier that you do a little bit of a vinegar sauce for your pork, which is like...
For that one, I mean, I've messed with a bunch of different recipes, but like that's the one that like I've tinkered with for so long,
And that's considered like a Carolina, right? Like Carolinas are sort of like their barbecue is kind of in the vinegar family, and then...
Yeah, I think so. And there's the mustard, and I forget which is north and which is South Carolina.
Oh, dude, I couldn't even tell you on a map which one is north and south. That should be the easiest way to do it. I know upper North Carolina and lower, but I don't know north and south.
Yeah.
And then when you like go down south more, that's where like the ketchupy, like the molassesy, the sweet barbecue sauce kind of comes from.
There's like St. Louis and Memphis, and
there's Kansas style barbecue.
Kansas
I know that
city style,
yeah.
I think Kansas City is the one that's really sweet.
Yes, I think you might be right as well. That's so fun to me. Like, and then you're just like a guy who lives in New York who's like, barbecue, I'm just gonna have like I'm making a burger and I'm having a barbecue at my house, and meanwhile there's a person who's like, wait, are we doing Kansas City or Mississippi style? It's like, oh fuck yeah.
Oh man, I don't want to be that guy.
No. That's where's some of the best barbecue you've had? It could be like in New York or on travel, or it could be at like a friend's house.
Oh wow. Well, I mean, so I've not gone to like any of the classic barbecue like meccas. I haven't even been to Texas. Like through Texas. So like there's a lot of places I want to go to, but like all the best places I've been to are in New York City, which is gonna get me shot and killed. Thank you so much for asking that question.
Mission accomplished. Just wanted to make sure you're a huge coastal elite poser. Perfect.
Like a giant anthropomorphic pig in a chef's hat and an apron is going to come to my house and kill me now before jumping back on his sign.
Mr. Hastings. No!
But yeah, like here in New York, like I said, I loved Blue Smoke for a very long time. Let's see. There's also... Hometown Barbecue in New York is terrific.
Solid. I love it. Dinosaur up in Harlem is really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Any place that's on a best of list, like, yeah, they're right. I don't have a secret one to share with anybody.
Right, right. You're not, well, especially in New York, you're not going to be like, well, there's a low key hole in the wall, amazing brisket. But that is like, when you get down south, you're like, oh, dude, there's this gas station outside of so-and-so that has like some of the best goddamn brisket. Like, I went to Lockhart, Texas with the Doughboys, which is like a couple hours outside of Austin, where they call that like one of the barbecue. There's like, it's like population 1800, but it has like four barbecue restaurants, and it's like they're considered some of the best in America.
It's like their entire like just like the entire city's like revenue just like from people driving in and like getting in line at 10 a.m. at these places.
I believe so. And I also believe that it's hard not to drive towards it, because when we were driving there from Austin, you could start to smell it like several miles out, and it was fucking, and it was stellar barbecue. And it was like, oh, you can go stand in the room where they're just cooking all the meat. Like, you're just like in this like bricked out room where it's like hot and meat is cooking, and you're like, this is stellar. There's also a place called Salt Lick just outside of Austin, which is pretty fucking stellar as well.
I've heard of these places. I want to go, because like they're in all of the cookbooks I have. They're all
right.
Stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's the shit you do. You set yourself up for some fucking like dream. Like, someday I'll save up enough money and then I'll drive the barbecue tour of, like, you know, I'll shit in my car a dozen times as I drive across the American South, smashing down fucking briskets and pulled porks.
Oh my God, that sounds great.
Well, let's talk before we get out of here. Let's talk a little sides.
Ooh, sides.
We got to get a little side dishy here. Classics everyone loves, but do you make any sides when you're throwing together your New Year's Day brisket? Or you're like, don't worry, we'll have potato salad too? Or do you have like other things in the world that you love? Or when you get barbecue, you're like, I gotta try their greens, or I gotta try their okra, sure. I gotta try their, like, where do you go from there?
At home, like, I really like, yeah, potato salad's great. I particularly like German potato salad, which is like
the yellowy one with like mustard and yolk, or is that something else?
I think it's something else. This is just like, it's basically like bacon and vinegar. Like,
oh yes, yes. Now I know what kind of potato salad you're talking about now. Yeah,
yeah. And you know, I like making a nice coleslaw is great.
Slaw is a good one because it adds value to the sandwich. It could act as a side or a condiment. It's versatile.
Try to tell people this.
Slice of white bread, a slice of brisket, and then a little pinch of coleslaw. You're made in the shade there. That's a fucking healthy bite.
I think you gotta have pickles of some kind, whether it's, you know, pickle or like
pickled onions
or like pickled red onion as a condiment. Like, you need pickles
need to cut through the fat a little bit with some vinegary and some fucking tart.
And then beyond that, I'm extremely basic and I will love french fries with anything. Like,
oh yeah, french fries are good. They are objectively a great side food. Like, no matter what, you can get a salad and fries and it's a fucking good combination. You know what
that's
I mean,
very
like
funny.
French fries. You got like, oh, I'll get a classic chicken Caesar salad, please, and fries on the side. but fries is a good, I love a mac and cheese from a place that does, I'm not going to make it if I'm making barbecue. That just seems to be a lot at that point. And I also don't have like a good recipe.
I never make mac and cheese at home.
No, and mac and cheese falls into a little bit of a category of like, I'm happy with any mac and cheese. Obviously, there are people who make fantastic mac and cheese, and I've had very good mac and cheese, but not good mac and cheese still hits. Like I could have Annie's like bunny shaped organic
those
mac and cheese. Yeah,
and those in fact, even just the other day, I made a really big pork shoulder that I then portioned out into little freezer bags, so I had little like portions in the freezer. And there, I didn't know what I was going to have for lunch, but I did have a box of Annie's mac and cheese, and I pulled out some of that pulled pork, and I made the box mac and cheese and put the pulled pork on top. It was so fucking good. It was better than both of them alone.
Yeah, that is a fucking stellar combo. I love a little chopped brisket or a little saucy pulled pork slapped into, stirred into some mac and cheese. Oh, that's a fucking, that's a dream. I'm a big fan of greens on this, collard greens.
Collard greens,
yeah, yeah. I love collard greens.
Collard greens.
And I don't, I never really liked fried green tomatoes. They never appealed to me. But then when I first, when I had them at Dinosaur Barbecue, I became a convert. And now I will try them at any place that says they do them well.
Like, that's the only place I've ever had it. And I'm like, yeah, these are great. I will always order it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not something you, when someone tries to, you're like, I know it's a movie. It sounds like fried tomatoes aren't
a
real
thing. Fried food just because it's a movie. All right. You'll have to do better, sir.
Yes, and I'll take another hitch when you get a chance. Sir, you just said you don't eat movie food. Oh, sorry, sorry. I love like tater tots on the side. Like it's hard not to go wrong, because barbecue is weirdly also about the sides, right? Like you want sides there. If you're making a big ass pork shoulder, you might want a couple of sides, just so also people don't sit there and hammer down the thing you worked 20 hours on in like a fucking few. Yeah, like, let them spread it around a little and have to eat, you know, some fucking pickled onions or
You need some filler.
Pickles go a long way too. Just a couple of pickles on a piece of what? How do you feel? How do you feel about adding cheese to a like a brisket sandwich? Like that always feels like you're pushing it too far. But I've had some leftover brisket with a piece of brie on a piece of white bread folded, and that thing hits like a guy. You know, maybe a pickle or two on there too. That shit hits like a fucking dream. Brie gets into like mayonnaise territory if it's a little melty in there. You know, it's adding more than just the cheese funk to it. It's adding some fucking moisture and some texture. Really hits for me.
Hello. I haven't really, but now that you mentioned it, I'm going to try. But like I like what we're getting into now, which is like, what are the sacrilegious barbecue moves we love?
Do you have any in particular?
Yeah, so I don't know if you remember, a while back McDonald's had a promotion that they did with the band BTS.
You're gonna need to.
Oh, sure. You know the Korean pop group BTS. Anyway, so they had a thing where it was like they made up sauces to have with the chicken nuggets, but I don't know who designed them. But they had one that was a quote Cajun sauce. There's nothing Cajun about it, but it was very good. And so I looked up how to make a copycat version of this McDonald's BTS sauce, BTS Cajun sauce, which was kind of just like, it's almost like a spicy burger sauce. It was very close to like Shake Shack's burger sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
A little spicier. And I put that on a brisket sandwich and it was the fucking best. It was so
good.
That with pickled red onion, it's all it needed. It was amazing.
Ooh. That sounds also, that is so uniquely American. A sauce I tried recently was called Cajun, made for a huge conglomerate corporation inspired by a Korean pop star. And I put it on classic, like Southern food, that feels so American to get to it via all the major crossover and promotion and shit. And now I'm reminded that I did like some of those nugget sauces that popped off from the BTS collab. Yes. Yeah. Those were good. Oh man. I fucking loved the idea of like, now you're thinking of brisket just as like meat on a sandwich and not like necessarily in the barbecue family. And you're like, slice of brisket, slice of Havarti, mayo, shredded lettuce. Like that just sounds like a fucking stellar sandwich right there.
Yeah.
A little shredded iceberg goes a long way.
It's like a pulled pork sandwich I really like is to like to have it with, skip the barbecue sauce entirely and have it with ranch dressing and like crispy fried onions on top.
Ooh, yeah.
And you know, have your pickle element, whatever you want, but like, yeah, pulled pork with ranch dressing is great.
Oh, that sounds so fucking stellar. Yeah. I could eat that for a bowl, like a bowl of cereal in the morning. Just give me pulled pork where like ranch is the milk. I could eat that like every morning. Like, look, give it to Mikey, he likes it. Mikey eats anything. I can't believe we haven't spoken of this. Another dish that gets rolled into barbecue frequently, which I love, is the sausage. And
oh yeah,
and like that is if you're not getting in the world of making your own sausage, like grilling sausage is very, very user friendly. It's like kind of hard because they're so fatty. Like they're kind of hard to overcook. Mm-hmm. They are like, I mean, you can overcook them, people. Do not, but
it'll let you know well in ahead. Like,
yeah, you'll know it's overcooked like by eyeball. But like, you can. It's really hard to dry out a good sausage, and it's like that's a really. Those are crowd pleasers. You put 10 of those on a grill, and like you just get good. And barbecue, they know what they're doing, man. They do like the jalapeno cheddar sausage or something like that. You have that to like break up some bites in between. Like, I love when you go to a barbecue place and they have like chicken is like a vegetable on the side. It's like, yeah, we'll get a smoked chicken too to share for the table while we all jam down fried burnt ends. Oh, burnt ends. We didn't even say burnt ends. Oh,
yeah.
The dream. Oh, oh.
Gosh. Something I like to do with sausages on the grill is I take like an aluminum pan and pour in like beer and like some sort of like herb and like maybe garlic and like some mustard or something like that. And then I'll braise the sausages in that liquid on the cooler side of the grill. So like get them like kind of simmering.
Oh,
like putting like sauerkraut or something in there. And then, once they're cooked, then I throw the sausages on to the hot side to sear off. And also we started my wife and I started doing it with like Italian sausage and peppers.
Oh, and yeah.
You like cook the onions and the peppers down and then you throw it into that pan with like vinegar and sugar and like and then throw it on like garlic bread. Incredible.
That sounds fucking stellar. You had me at sausage and peppers. One of my favorite pairings of words in the world. Yeah. Ooh, I like the idea. So let me just visualize what you're saying here so I get it right. You have like one of those like catering trays or small like aluminum tray. Mm-hmm. You have the sausage in there with some liquids and some other things that are kind of
braising liquid. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like simmering in there directly on the grill. Mm-hmm. And that's like you start cooking it there, but it's on the cooler side. So it's not like,
and it's still
boiling.
Absorbing like that smoke flavor through that.
Yeah.
One. Yeah.
And then you take it off there to just finish for the crisp and the lines and stuff like that. Ah, that sounds fucking genius.
Yeah. Well, I didn't come up with it. I won't take any credit.
No, I know. It clearly is something that, you know, someone who knows anything about cooking would put together kind of early on of like,
if I had figured that out, I would have led with it. I would have been like, tell you and your listeners about my trademark way to cook sausages that I will tell you the fifth step for then $50 money order.
What if you like came out like, I did come up with this and it's not until this episode comes out in like three, you know, a couple of weeks that you hear like, oh, I did not come up with that at all. And now I'm like, I leaned in pretty hard of like, and I have the surefire way to cook sausages on the grill. Now you'll need to get yourself an aluminum pan. Here's some examples of aluminum pans I've used in the pan. There people are like, what the fuck? This guy's describing braising. But the idea, I'm always grilling at like friends' houses and when I stay at like Airbnbs and shit. So, and I have a trip coming up next month and I think I'm going to try to cook some
sausage. I'll send you the recipe. It's on both of the one I described two. One was a bratwurst and one was for the sausage and peppers. And they're both from J. Kenji Lopez Alt, the food writer at Serious Eats. So you can find those there.
Oh, cool.
And they are dead easy. They're very easy to cook this way.
Yeah, you describe, this is how easy they are. On an audio medium, you explained it to me, and I think I know it what to do. like that you secondhand taught me over audio medium with no objects to go look at or go over, and I'm on board. So it's clearly not too difficult of a process.
Yeah.
That sounds fucking good. Well, look. Besides showing up at your house and asking you to try your brisket, where else can my listeners get a taste of what you've got going on?
Oh, that's fun. Well, we didn't talk about it at all, but I'm a comic book writer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Turns out.
Yeah. So
you're like, I could have spoken with more authority on that, but Gaberson insisted on barbecue.
No. I wanted to come in and talk about something fun, not about work.
Right. Fair.
Yeah.
What issues are you writing right now? If people, you know, this episode comes out on Thursday.
Right now I'm writing kids comics that nobody who would read them should be listening to this show.
Right. Fair enough. Maybe they have kids that like comics.
That's true. Look, I'm going to plug it. All right. So There's a series of graphic novels called The Investigators, and they are about alligators who are part of a spy agency. They wear
investigators.
Vests.
I love it.
The Investigators, and VEST stands for Very Exciting Spy Technology. And
that's awesome.
So I work with the series creator John Green. I do the spinoff books about all the other animals that work there, and that's called Agents of Suit. The first one came out in February. And I also do, you know, the Five Nights at Freddy's video games.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I work on a series of graphic novels set in that world.
I don't know anything about the games except that I think they are going to be a movie series soon. Too,
yeah. We
right?
got a movie yeah. coming out, in October. Jim Henson, Studios did the animatronics. Matthew Lillard seems to be playing the main bad guy. Yeah. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
That's awesome. It's Freddy's is sort of like a Chuck E. Cheese, right?
On a Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah.
Yeah. That's such a fucking fun premise. That's cool that you're doing the books. That's so
yeah,
rad.
Yeah. The books are super fun. So those are the main comic projects that I have out right now. And if people want to check out my backlog, which has like Adventure Time, Deadpool, Gwenpool, the pink version of Deadpool.
Hell yeah.
The Adventures of Dr. McNinja. A whole bunch of other Marvel stuff. And like I did the Wet Hot American Summer graphic novel. That was,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That was super fun. The most filthy material I've ever put in a comic book is in that. And people can find all that stuff at, drhastings.biz. That's
Dr.
my link tree.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And then of course, you mentioned our podcast, Rude Tales of Magic. Where I pretend to be a skeleton wizard who lost his body in a terrible magical accident.
With former guest of the pod, Branson, and future guest of the pod, Tim.
You're going to have Tim on.
Yeah, nailing it down, getting the whole family on board.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and I knew nothing about the pod except that a guy I used to know, Branson, was on it. When we were talking more, I was like, oh, that's so fucking cool. And then like 2 weeks later, it's like, yeah, that HeadGum we just got. And I'm like, oh, I just like learned so much about these guys. Let's have them on the pod. I'm a fucking tabletopper. I'll talk to them about anything. That's so fucking. So it's been fucking rad to learn more about your show. That sounds so fun.
Oh, thanks, man. That's great.
Yeah. Dude. And let's get a barbecue at some time. At some point, if you're in L.A. or I'm in New York or we're both in Kansas City, let's
do
up.
A follow up. Yeah.
Yes. Let's
rip off the doughboys.
We'll start having barbecue and then discussing it at length, and rating it five tongs. not fully ripping them off, but staying in the. I also, speak of ripping them off, just like ripped off a little scab on my forehead and am currently bleeding.
Yeah, for folks on the audio, I'm seeing some beautiful video footage of Gabriel showing me his bleeding forehead. Yeah.
Cut my head into pieces. And listeners, you know where to find my shit. I got that actionboys.biz podcast, a couple hundred episodes of that show. And then, of course, way less episodes, but equally important to me, 101 Places to Party Before You Die. Now on Max, 8 episodes over there. And yes, before you come up to me and ask me if there's a second season, not that we know of yet, but we're out here hustling, folks. We trying, not for lack of trying. Christopher, thank you so much, man. I'm starving now.
I know, me right too. I'm so glad I'm eating after this.
I ate right before we got on, and I'm like, got some stupid ass healthy dinner tonight. Now all I want is fucking smoked chicken wings from Slab. But I will. The show must go on. I appreciate you coming on, bud. It was nice to meet you.
Oh my gosh, likewise. Thank you. I love the show. So it was really cool to talk to you.
Thank you. Well, then you're gonna love this part. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast. in a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Well, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!